Welcome everyone, Nathalie de Remier here from New Software Marketing, and today we have a very special guest, Gina Gomez. She is a certified life and business coach, a master coach for the moms, helping moms business network, and the creator of the ever popular Mr. Mind Mastermind. It's a 6-month mastermind program for business owners looking to increase their revenue and overall results. After building a successful career in corporate America as a VP of sales for a major health corp, she used a results-oriented business philosophy and knack for developing relationships to help others achieve and exceed their professional and personal goals and live up to their true potential. She has coached talent and professionals in the entertainment industry, corporate executives, small business owners, entrepreneurs, artists, teachers, high school and college students, parents, couples, and other life coaches. So welcome, Gina.
Thank you. Nathalie, you make my bio sound so much better with your accent. I'm just going to sit here and listen to you.
You know, I have another person that said, can you record my bio and send me the audio? I'm like, maybe that's what I should do. You know, I should open like a Fiverr account and start do intro for people. Why not?
So,
Gina, tell us, how did you become an entrepreneur? Obviously, you were in the corp world. So how did you transition into that field and working for yourself?
Well, first and foremost, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here and to be talking with you about all kinds of good things. It's really funny how I got into the entrepreneurial route, because if anyone would have told me, and people did, that I would be running my own business, I never would have believed it and never did in a million years, because I was somebody who took the safe route, worked in structured corporate environments. That's what I knew. That's what I was comfortable with. But I wasn't happy. I made a ton of money. I was in a senior leadership position. I worked with extraordinary people and had great, great clients, but there was always something missing for me. And no matter how much money I was making, no matter how great the people were, there was still this piece that felt unfulfilled. So I had an opportunity. I had a significant change in my life. If anybody who's watching this, if you've ever lost a parent, you know what I mean. You question everything and you make big decisions to change the rest of your life when you look at life a little differently. And so that was what my big decision was to make a career shift. I didn't know what exactly I was going to do, but I knew I wanted to do something that left a positive imprint and could help people. So I went back and looked at what my interests were, and that's where I started moving into coaching and doing life coaching. But what I found was the business side of me was just suffering, because I love business. I love strategy. I love networking. I love, you know, the whole puzzle pieces of a business. And I wasn't using it because I was only doing life coaching. And then I swung the other way to go into more business coaching and thought, well, what if I blended the two and can meet in the middle? So it took a little while to find my niche and to figure out what exactly I wanted to do and who I wanted to work with. But it was a good route for me to take, because I got really clear. So when I found that niche, then I was really ready to step forward and keep moving forward consistently.
I love this, because, I mean, it's just like you said, it's listening to what, you know, your heart was telling you. Basically, you are not happy. What can I do? And then experimenting, right? You did life coaching, and then, but you love business coaching. How can I mix the two? And I think that, and also probably listening to people, right? When you started to talk to people, you probably realized that you were attracting these kind of people, right?
Yes, absolutely. And what I found was that there was this whole market of people who wanted to run businesses, do really good work in the world, but either didn't have a budget to allow them to go back to business school or get their master's or whatever that looked like for them, or they really wanted to do the work, but they just didn't have anyone to teach them how to do it. And so that was a huge opportunity for me to come in and say, look, there's another way to do this. And money shouldn't be the excuse that keeps you from getting what you want. There are other ways to do it. And it may be a longer route, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't pay off in the end.
Absolutely love it. So how did you get started? Did you... Because you were in the corporate, so like you just started online, you didn't have an audience, right? You didn't have a list, you know, of people to contact. How did you start getting, I'm guessing, one-on-one, right? Coaching clients. How did that work? Or did it take time? Did you have to talk to a lot of people to make it happen, your first clients?
There was a little bit of both. One is I wasn't clear on who I wanted to work with yet. So what I did was I wanted to really understand coaching because education is very important to me. And so I wanted to really understand the craft, the business around it, what people really wanted from a coach, and I wanted to be trained in it. So I did a year-long certification program so that I could really understand the mindset piece because I already had a lot of the business components. And then started working with people one-on-one, and people started hearing what I was doing. And I will be honest with you, my experience was all face-to-face selling and face-to-face business. So when I went and created this website, I mean, I tell this story all the time because I think it's one of the funniest things. And I had this beautiful corporate blue background on my website. It was very serious, very businesslike. And I hired a copywriter, Laura Belgray, who works with Marie Forleo, yeah, who I have so much respect for and adore her. And she looked at my website and said, "This is very serious." And I popped out my chest and I'm like, "I know." And she goes, "Yeah, that's not good." She said, "Because you're not a serious person. So when people get on the phone with you, they're going to wonder who they hired." And that was a huge lesson for me and better understanding that the online world is very different. So then I had to learn that side of the business because I realized a lot of my business skills could translate, but I had to also learn where I was limited. So allowing those shifts allowed me to get in front of different people. And every time I'd make a shift, I'd attract a new type of person or a new type of client until I really started to hit that groove. So it did take a little bit of time, but everything works out the way it's supposed to.
Oh yeah. And we are exactly where we're supposed to be, right? We are given however much we can handle, right? So, I mean, I love what you said about the fact that you knew your limitations, or you were aware that you didn't have all the answers. And very often that is what's preventing people from moving forward. That's whole mindset of, but I don't know how to. And so they don't do anything. And they often feel like, I don't know how to, that means it's going to cost me money. And it's not necessarily that, because you can talk to people. Nobody knows everything about every single piece. That doesn't mean that you have to invest tons of money into things that you might not need right now, the things that you need to go to that next step, right? It might not be that much, right? And people get afraid about all this stuff. So I think that's one of the key elements that I keep hearing, you know, from talking to all these amazing people that are successful, is that to recognize where you need help. There are things you're great at. There are things you're not so good at. And there are things that you don't want to do. And you shouldn't do either of those two. But they need to get done somehow. So, and I think that's really a good lesson for anybody who is starting or growing a business, is to be aware of where your limitations are and where you know you're going to have to step up your game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think the other part that people really underestimate is the value of asking questions, because people are afraid, oh, if I ask a question, someone's going to think, oh, I should know that, or I'm so this, or I'm so that. But here's the honest to goodness truth. Clients want to know that you're going to be around for the long haul. Clients want to know that they're going to not have to look for somebody else in 3 months. So take the time to ask the questions, because they're your biggest cheerleaders. They want you to do well, because if you're offering something good, they want to come back. They want to send other people.
Absolutely.
So don't be afraid to ask those questions, because I think that there's so much power in curiosity.
Absolutely. And sometimes people feel asking questions as a sign of weakness, or even asking for help. It's actually a sign of strength. It shows that you are totally aware of, you know, your limitations, like you said, where you need help. And it's just being confident into, you know, what you know you can offer and how you're going to need help to support you to do that. So it's, you know, it's like, it's pretty selfish, actually, I think, to think that this is a weakness, because that means you feel like everything should be on you. No, you don't build a business alone. You know, I don't know anybody who does, right? So I think it's really important to see that seeking help and asking questions is not a sign of weakness. It's actually how you grow, because you get people to tell you.
Right. Right. And I think it's actually a lot of fun because it's kind of like being on an adventure, getting the next clue, right? When there's something you don't know, and then you ask someone and you get this information and you get to try something out and see how it works for you, it leads you to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And that's where that power comes in as well.
Absolutely. Love this. So you started as one-on-one coaching, and how long did you do that for? Or do you still do?
I still do one-on-one coaching. I don't do one-on-one coaching exclusively, but I started out doing one-on-one, and it was really funny. When I started, I had one offer, and it was to work with me privately. And the reason I did it that way was because I wanted to get really, really good at coaching. And I thought the only way for me to do that is to get as many hours as I possibly can, to really understand what the patterns are, what the key phrases are that people use over and over, what those obstacles are, because there are definitely patterns, but also the mindset behind it. And the only way I could really learn that was to be hands-on. And I got a number of hours when I was doing my coaching certification, because that was part of the requirement. Mm-hmm. But it kind of just gave, like, it whet my appetite to want to learn more and more and more and more. So I love the intimacy of the one-on-one coaching, because it allows me to roll up my sleeves and really get, you know, like, I like to get my hands dirty and really understand my client's business and what's going on. And I like to treat their business as if it's my business, and I like to be really successful. So for me, it's always super, super fun. On the flip side, I had, I think I'm going on 3 years now. I had a week where I had three people who were all interested in hiring me for private coaching, but all of them were new in their businesses and none of them have the budget to support private coaching. And they were all great, great people. And I thought, there has to be something I can offer that's affordable and that doesn't take away from, you know, the private coaching. It still needed to feel like private coaching to me, for me to really want to do something that was more on a group basis. So I created a 6-month mastermind, and that's when I got into group coaching. And it's so much fun. Right now I'm running a group program that's different than the mastermind, but the mastermind will start again in January. And I love it. There are pros and cons to every aspect, but I can't tell you that I love one more than the other. It's kind of like, I would imagine, I don't have children, but I would imagine it's not like being a mom where you love your kids for different reasons, but you love them all the same. It's the same kind of thing.
Awesome. So can you share a bit about that business model? Would you say, like, do you have like 50% of one-on-one and then 50% mastermind? How do you divide that work to make it work for your lifestyle, to work, you know, however many hours or days you want in the week? How is that structure right now?
Well, that's a great question. If I'm running a group program, depending on what the enrollment is, that will dictate how many private clients I take. Because for me, when I'm running a group program, whether it's a mastermind or the group program that I'm running now with the Moms Helping Moms Network, what's really important to me is that I have enough time. I'm very hands-on with my clients. So it's not unusual for me to spend 60% of my day with the group participants on any given day during the week, because I want to make sure that they're getting what they need, that they're getting results, and that they walk away feeling like they're really proud of the fact that they participate in this program. So that will determine if I sell to capacity, it's usually about 60% of my business, and then 40% will go towards private clients. If I oversell, because I've had that happen, and I exceed my my budgeted goal, then I will back off on my private clients as well, because I want to make sure that everybody, including the private clients, has enough attention from me.
Okay. So let's talk about you said you have a mastermind and then a group coaching, right? Can you share like the difference between the two? And you said there is an enrollment period. So is that something where you open cards several times a year and then you close it and then you just focus on the people? Can you share how that works?
Sure. So I'm laughing because you will never meet anyone who despises a launch more than I do. So let me just preface it with that, because it's so crazy making for me. I like being in front of a client, and I tend to be more, more authentic, in the sense that, like, I like to have a conversation with someone instead of like, hey, let's get on a webinar. And I think webinars are great, but I just tend to do better and like to get to know somebody to make sure that it's the right fit. So the difference between my group coaching program and the mastermind is the mastermind is limited to no more than 12 people at any given time. And then they're broken into pods of four people in a group of foursomes. And we meet, you know, on a weekly basis over 6 months. The group program, and then there, everybody has individual hot seat sessions, and then they can also have private coaching with me. In the group program, there are more people, so it's not a limited number of people, but we kept it intimate, you know, just to make sure that people feel like they're getting, you know, some one-on-one attention or a lot of one-on-one attention. Because like I said, I like to be hands-on. But that group doesn't do necessarily ongoing private coaching with me unless they want to book something separate and apart. They can't. Mm-hmm. I don't run both at the same time because I would love to make you think that I can handle it, but I can't. So one at a time works best for me. So I'm finishing up the group program in December, and then that's when the mastermind will kick off, probably end of January. And as far as a launch goes, I don't, honestly, the first two times that I sold the mastermind, I never even wrote a word of copy. What happened was I mentioned it to a client that I was thinking about doing this, and she said, I'm in. I don't care how much it is, just put me in. And she said, and can I tell people about it? And I said, well, all I have is an outline. I don't have anything, so I'll give you everything when I have it. And she said, no, just give me the outline so I can start telling people. My goal was six people. In 24 hours, I had eight people, and then I had 12 people before I knew it. So I had doubled my goal. And then the following round, people had heard about it, and they came to me and said, when you do the next one, can you make sure that I'm in because I want to be part of it? So I thought, this is great. If I never have to run a launch, this is so ideal for me. So a lot of times what I do is when I know I'm going to start ramping up for the mastermind, I'll start having conversations with the people who've been thinking about working with me and who are interested and say, okay, it's, you know, it's coming up. So do you still want in? And it makes my life so much easier. But I have done launches. And what I find is when I give people time to get to know how the program would work. So I've done a month's worth of a mastermind type of program so that people can participate for free. And they know for sure at the end of that 4 weeks, whether or not I'm right or not for them, which makes their decision much easier. And it makes my job easier because I want people who know that they're and are certain about working with me.
Yeah. I love that. It seems like you don't have to work too much to get people into your program. And I think that I think the reason is that because you're having conversation with people, and two, you're getting results. And when you get results, people get results, people talk about you and other people want to work with you, right? So it's not a waste of time, you know, talking to people and just being curious about what their needs are and then coming up with an offer. You listen to the problem and then you come up with an offer, right? Which is what you did for people. Hey, can I help? How can I help these people that cannot afford me? And I think that's where we see the best offer, the most successful offers come up, because they really come from a need where people say, hey, I need this. I trust you. If you have this, I will buy it. And that's where people buy without a sales page, right? They buy even before you have the offer. So that is awesome. And I think I'm sure you'll agree, that's an ongoing work, right? Like you said, you have to constantly talk to people. It's not something you say, hey, I'm going to do pre-launch for a month. I'm going to talk to a whole bunch of people and that's going to fill up my mastermind. It doesn't work that way.
Right. And I say this a lot, is if you ever want to know what the market wants, ask the market. They will tell you. And we don't take advantage of that. I know if you called me and said, hey, I'm thinking about offering something, but I need to know, like, what are people looking for? What do they need? I would be so excited that you asked, because I'd feel like, oh, I could have some input on something that can solve a need for me in my business. So never be afraid to ask the market.
Yeah. And I think also the reason I think people might not be doing it is because they think about the offer before the offer and how much is going to be, and therefore how many they're going to need to sell to make that amount of money they want, without thinking about the solution to the actual problem. They miss that critical step. There is something they know how to do, more or less well. Okay, we can all agree on that. They come up with an offer that they think is awesome, either because a lot of people are doing it, so like, hey, if they make money, why shouldn't I? Or because they just think it's really cool, but they don't do that work up front, right, of talking to people, which is something that not a lot of people are comfortable with. I mean, when you get started with a business, it's not something that people would necessarily think of doing, right? Trying to interact. We right. think about offer, money, how much, and things like that. And I think people can tell when you have the conversation and it's about trying to sell you something instead of being genuinely interested about what your needs are.
Right. And I think you make a great, great point. One thing that I like to think of it as when it comes to nurturing, because you have to nurture your audience before you ask them for money. So I look at it as, would you just out of the blue send an email to people like your list and ask for $2,000? Would you just walk up to a stranger that you haven't talked to in 6 months and say, hey, can I have $2,000? No, you would warm them up. You would get to know them. You build a relationship, trust, you'd see if they even have the $2,000 or if they were willing to lend it. So there's a nurturing that needs to take place before you go and ask people for money. One of the biggest turnoffs for me, and this happens to me probably maybe once a month, every other month, I'll get a message from someone I haven't heard from in months or even years. And it's, hey, friend. So they can't even take the time to put my name. And then it's all about, I've been thinking about you. I've got this thing. It's $7,000. And I'm like, I haven't talked to you. I don't even know you.
Thank you.
So never underestimate the value of taking time to really get to know someone and treat people like people. And above all, treat people like their money matters, because it does.
Absolutely. I love this. Awesome. So you're doing one-on-one coaching, you have the mastermind, and you have the group coaching. Do you have any other form of services that you are working on or are planning to add to, or are you basically where you want to be in your business right now?
I'm never where I want to be in my business. That's the achiever in me. I'm never where I want to be. There's always more to do. I will tell you, honestly, I'm not a traditional entrepreneur in the sense that I don't have a bunch of different group programs, and I'm not somebody who emails my list once a week, and I don't have a lot of digital products. For me, this is how I've always gauged my business in my entire career. Is as long as my clients are satisfied, they're getting what they need, I'm meeting all of my business goals, then I'm on track and I don't put as much pressure on myself to do the things that I feel like I should be doing. Like, I have a workbook that I have not done anything to have formatted, and I've had it for a long time, and I just pulled it out over the weekend to send to my designer and said, okay, we have to do something with this because it does no good just sitting here in my files. So I'm starting to move towards some of those things, but my priority always, always, always is being in front of clients.
Yeah. And I love this because that's part of having a business on your own terms. For some people, it will be always chasing, how can I work smarter and smarter, either so I can work less and do more of, other things, or how can make more money, more money, more money. People, go right. into this entrepreneurship for different reasons. And certainly, just being, happy with where we are, where you are, and being comfortable, no stress, have a plan, you have a funnel, you know how to get people in, you know how to get people results, is certainly a way of, of running a business on your terms. So I love this. I know some people are like always wanted the next step, they never feel satisfied about where they are and they always want to go to the next step. But it's nice to have that freedom to say, you know what, I'm perfectly happy with the way it's running.
Right. And I'm also a big believer that we get so many firsts in this lifetime, right? Like the first business that you run, the first client, the first six-figure year that you have, all those things that go with that. That when we don't take the time to really enjoy that, we don't get to repeat that. And when we do repeat it, let me say it differently. When we do get to repeat it, it's never the same as the first time. So I'm a big believer in taking time and really enjoying the process and celebrating those things. And I think that is a big part of why I shifted into running my business on my own terms, because I was reading all the things about all the things you have to be doing and should be doing to be an entrepreneur. And I thought, okay, but that's not what I ever wanted to do. And then when I started to shift things, it also opened up my revenue and my business. I saw a spike in revenue when I let go of the things that were not lighting me up and were not serving my clients, because it showed up in the work, because I felt like I was pushing through it instead of really enjoying it. And now it's entirely.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there is definitely not one way to be an entrepreneur, right? And it's all, you know, we're all different. We all run our business in a unique ways, and we give it the structure that we want to. And that's what gives us the freedom and, you know, the happiness, I want to say, you know, that we have in our life, because it's on our own terms, right?
Right, right.
Love this. Awesome. So Gina, can you tell us how people can find out more about you? Is that on your website? Can you?
Sure. So they can go to Gina Gomez, GINAGOMEZ.com. And that's where you can find out all about how I work, my experience, everything we've talked about, and then some.
Awesome. Well, definitely share a link below the video so that people can check you out. And does it have information about your coaching program as well?
Okay. It does. And if you are interested, there's also an opt-in for a Moneymaker's Guide to Strategies That Sell, which are the same strategies that I use in my business and with my clients that actually has helped them time over time increase their revenue. So you're also welcome to sign up and download that right away.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Gina. It was so nice to meet you. I just didn't know you even like 72 hours ago. I don't know. So that is awesome. You know, that the power of relationships, right? Mutual friends.
Yes. Yes.
That is awesome. So yeah, the real power of relationships. I love that. Well, thank you so much, Gina. It was so nice to meet you. Thank you for doing this on short notice. I know you have a crazy schedule. But I'm really glad you took the time, and it was so nice to meet you.
Well, thank you very much. I had a great time spending time with you.
Thank you so much. All right.